When the truth of God's word is not prioritized in our hearts, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches can overshadow it.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
So we have been studying that the heart of humans vetoes any and everything they do. Your heart will veto it. In other words, it will override anything you do. So whatever it is that you're doing, please pay attention because your heart can override it. Amen. You can fast for 40 days. If your heart is not in the right position, it is a waste of time because your heart is going to veto it. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the four conditions of the heart. Jesus tells the parable of the sower, and he uses the condition of the soil, and he utilizes it to show us how our hearts can be. We've looked at the wayside heart, and then we've looked at the stony places heart. And today, I want to look at the among the thorns heart condition. Today will be part one because it's a little bit deep, so I don't want to rush through it, and we will just take a section of it. Are you Matthew 13? We will look at the 7th and the 22nd verse. I'll read these two verses from the King James. He said, "And some fell among thorns." Everybody say, "Among thorns." "And the thorns sprang up and shook them. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and" what? "Choked them." Verse 22. Ready? Read together with me. Go. "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the curse of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." One last verse. Now, anytime you read the Gospels, what is called the Synoptic Gospel, the word "syno" means you have to view it together. It is always good to read the account in Matthew, like we have. Then you have to read it in the other two, in Mark and Luke, so that you can get a much better picture of what is being said. Are you with me? Now, here we find that the Scripture says that the heart condition, where the seed fell among thorns, it is interesting that verse 22 says, this person hears the word. So the word of God is in this heart. But then also in that heart is the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. What I want us to explore is how in the world can you have all these three things growing in the same heart? So you are walking around thinking the word of God is in you until the day you need it. Then you find out that the thorns, the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches have already choked it. It ain't there. Now, so let's look at Luke chapter 8. It is the same verse, but it renders it. Luke adds something that Matthew and Mark does not add. Please read with me from the screen, verse 7. Ready? Read. "Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked it." Did you see that? All right. Now let's begin by defining what I mean by among the thorns heart condition. It is the heart where the word of God coexists with the cares of this world or the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. It is interesting. You can't have these things together. But Jesus says there is that kind of heart where you have all three of them growing together. Turn to the person sitting next to you and ask them, what are the thorns in your heart? Let me define it another way. It is the heart where God's word is an alien, and the thorns, rather, are the residents. It is the heart where the word of God is a foreigner. But the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, they are the natives. So when you find yourself in a problem and you want to dig deep and bring some word out, it hasn't come out because it's been choked. By what? By the curse of this world. I'll define that phrase. And it has been choked out by the deceitfulness of riches. Amen. How do the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches grow in our hearts alongside the word and choke it? How does that happen? The answer is very simple. When we don't prioritize God's truth. Please notice I don't use the word word. I never said God's word because many of us have the word, but we have not prioritized the truth in the word. When the truth of God's word is not prioritized in our hearts, the curse of this world and the deceitfulness of riches can overshadow it. Amen. Amen. And this morning, I just want to take my time only to walk you through how the cares of this world grow side by side with the word and choke it. Next week, we will look at the other part. Are you ready to go on the journey with me? So let's begin. What are the cares of this world? Everybody has it. The cares of this world refers to worries, anxieties, difficulties, and needs that weighs us down. The cares of this world refers to worries, anxieties, difficulties, and needs that weighs us down. How do I, as a child of God, stop these things from growing together? The answer is in the book of Philippians chapter 4. Turn there with me and we will read these two verses from the Message Bible because of the way it renders it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to verse 7. So you will find that a believer has God's word in their hearts. But over time, that word does not seem to be working. Why? Because it has been choked by the cares of this world, by anxieties, by worries, and all that stuff. I am Philippians chapter 4. Let's look at the 6th and the 7th verse. We'll read from the Message Bible. He says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, come on, talk to me. Let's read those two sentences again. Ready? Go. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Now, that is easier said than done. So we want to delve into how this can be done. Notice the next few words. Let petitions and praises shape. I need you to circle that word, shape. Shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Please underline the word worry and underline the word concern. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It is wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. But Christ does not just get up and displace it. Something ought to happen. You have, instead of worrying, what? Pray. How do we pray? He says, let petitions and praises shape the worry. I will get to it. Now, I believe that everybody has a concern, correct? The concern for our feet. Having blisters whilst we walk, that's why there are shoes. So concerns are not bad. All right? A concern is when you recognize that there is a problem. I'm defining it. Whenever you talk about a concern, it means you see that there is some kind of problem. But when the problem becomes something that occupies you pretty much every day, and you are in fear of something bad happening, it has become a worry. Are you with me? So, the Word of God is not telling us that our concerns can stay a concern. It can become worry. And I'll walk you through that. Worry is when we cannot stop thinking about the concern we have and fearing that something bad may happen. Now, how many of you have had your physicals already this year? Physicals, by going to see the doctor and get the physicals? Wow, you don't like physicals. Go and get your physicals so there are some prayers we don't pray. All right? Somebody says, pray with me, I think my blood pressure is up. Let's be sure, not you think. Now, you went to see a doctor and they ran a few tests here and there. And after that, they told you that there is some issue you have to deal with. That raises a concern. Do you agree? All right. A few days after, a nurse from the doctor's office calls you and says, there is something you're supposed to do because we find that there is a problem and we need to figure out what to do next. So you need to run a few more. Mm-hmm. At that moment, if you are not careful, the concern becomes. But since you have not run the test yet, your concern remains a concern. You run the test, and it looks like what the doctor was saying is what it is. So the second result shows up. They call you. You make an appointment. You show up there. You still have a concern. You are not worried yet. Till the doctor speaks and says, now where we are, it looks like something needs to be done immediately. And if we don't do it, X, Y, Z will happen. At that point, does the concern remain a concern? It becomes worry. So the scripture is not talking about our concerns. The scripture is talking about when that concern now occupies you. It simply controls you. You are in that state of fear perpetually because you know that this concern can do something that is not supposed to do. I'm talking prophetically, so I don't want to speak anything negative. Three things, please write it down. Our concerns have become worries if we are mentally and emotionally unsettled about our situation most of the time. Our concerns have become worries if we are mentally and emotionally unsettled about a situation most of the time. In other words, when anybody asks you, how's this thing going? I don't know. The way it is, it might do this. It tells you that it is no more a concern, right? Maybe before a certain time when anybody asks you, how's your blood pressure like? It's under control. Then later on you realize it's not under control. Even when they give you medications, it's still not what? Under control. So by the time they ask you a second time, how's your blood pressure like? I don't know about that. It means the thing is no more a concern for you. It has become a worry. You have been unsettled. Secondly, our concerns have become worries if we are more focused on our desires than the will of God. When your mind is always on that thing, and how it is going to destroy your life rather than the will of God, then it is no more a concern. It is a worry. Thirdly, our concerns have become worries if we feel pressure to make decisions without consulting God. When you start making decisions and you don't factor God into the equation, it means you are so much worried. Can you look at a lady who's been looking to get married when she was 28 and now she's 38? So 10 years after, now anything that presents itself, she's willing to take him. When she was 20, she had rules and standards. She has the ones she want and the one. I know some of the ladies are laughing and say, Pastor, what about the guys? We are the same way. We only cover up, but we are the same way. So our concerns can easily become what? Worries. So in your heart is the word, and in your heart is a concern. But when it gravitates from being a concern into a worry, where we call the cares of this world and can choke the word, sometimes the transition happens so fast that if you are not careful, you walk around, you come to church, we read the Bible, but you actually don't believe it. It's not because you made up your mind you don't want to believe it. It's because the care of this world, that worry has choked the word. Anybody understanding what I'm showing you? So what Paul is saying is that I want you to learn how not to worry, but pray. And he says the way to do it, please, I'm going to take my time and walk you through this. He says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Please, I need you to look at the progression. He says, when petitions and praises shape worries, then now you have a concern. Verse 7, before you know it, it's a sense of God's wholeness. Everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces. So I want us to just focus on what we need to do. Please write this down. Use petitions and praises to shape your worry into prayer daily. And I'll show you how it's done. Right? Use petitions, praises to shape your worries into what? Prayers daily. Anytime you shape something, you are giving that thing a new form. Do you agree? So, this microphone is what shape? Some way, somehow, it approximates to a cylinder, correct? So, if I want to transform this into a square, in other words, shape it from a cylindrical shape into a square, what needs to happen? We have to break it down and take it through some processes until it comes to the very form we're looking for. Are you here with me? So let's assume that this microphone is your worry. Paul is saying that the only way this becomes just an ordinary concern that we can hand over to God is that it has to go through a process. And he calls the process, please, the Bible calls it, let petitions and praises. If you permit me, can I use a modern terminology? I call it petitions and praises therapy. If you went to a psychiatrist and you were anxious and anxiety, he is going to prescribe a therapy. Today, the therapy we find out of the Word of God is the petitions and praises. I would open it up to you. Petitions and praises therapy. Everybody say? And that one does not transform this microphone. It transforms your worries into prayer. In other words, he's saying that worries is the first shape. But he wants this worry to take on a new form. The new form is called prayer. What transforms worries into prayer is petitions and praises. Everybody say petitions. The word petition is a legal term. I said the word petition is what? Petition simply means a formal request made to a court, seeking a court order to either stop or start something. Do I need to say it again? A petition is a formal written request. Please, it is what? Made to a court, seeking a court order to start or stop something. In other words, when you make a formal request to a court, you are seeking a judge's order, petitioning that court that something either has to stop or it has to what? Begin. So Paul is saying, when you find that your concerns have become worries, it is time to write a formal request. Pastor, can't we just speak it? People, transforming worry ain't cheap. So let's follow it through. Write it down. Put it somewhere at the headboard of your bed. And then look at it. God, this is my formal written request. That this cannot continue. It has to stop somewhere. You can put it in your prayer closet. Modern people who everything is on the phone, make it your, I like it to be your actual screen. The first screen you come to, right? When it's in the other mode, that's the only thing you see. This is my formal request. I have petitioned the courts of heaven. I know some people be asking, Pastor, but God is not like that. God is a judge. Didn't the Bible say that? Is God a king? So the Bible says, enter what? His gate and into his courts. Because in the courts of the king, you can petition. And he tells you how to start it through praise and to worship. And Paul says, you can change the worry from the shape of worry into a shape of prayer by beginning with a petition. Formal written request. Anytime lawyers write petitions for people, they don't use the ordinary person's language. What language do they use? They use the legal document. So don't go write something based on your head. You must search the legal documents, the Bible. And find out what is the legal request concerning this and write it down. If the doctor says, I would die, then Psalm 118 says, I shall not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord. And then you take a paper and you put it, bam. And it is on your headboard. Where is it? Come on, where is it? It's on your headboard. So when you wake up in the morning, you said, oh, hear me, the courts of heaven. I have come in the midst of all the angels who are worshiping. God can still hear your voice. And you begin to petition the courts of heaven. You are telling him something needs to stop or something needs to begin. Let petitions shape your worries. Anybody's got a worry here today? I got one. Anybody got a worry? Yes. But I'm the only hand out. Anybody got a worry here today? Shape that worry. I said, shape that. Shape that. Please, prayer meetings is not how it is done. Because after you are done praying, you are by yourself. You know how believers do this? The other people who are praying with you can only help you. One day you will face Goliath by yourself. You know how Goliath shows up and then he looks out of all of Israel and he yells out, I am Goliath, the champion of Gath. Your king Saul has chickened out. So he says, give me a man. And everybody began to run away until David's 13 to 17 year old boy shows up at the battlefield and he makes a very profound declaration. Is there not a cause that I must deal with this uncircumcised Philistine? Today there are things we are confronted with and you cannot just sit down and allow worry to keep overpowering you. It is time to write your petition. Take it to the courts of heaven and lay it there and say, God, God Almighty, I make a declaration today. This worry shall become a concern. Let petitions. Notice the word let. It means it won't happen on its own. You have to make it. Tell the person sitting next to you, you have to do it. Now he says, let petitions. And the second one, he says, let praises. The word praise means to extol God for who he is and what he has done. Did you get it? I'm going to give you a life example for you to see how it works. Let petitions and praises. So you are bothered by something. That thing is just killing you. You know how sometimes doctors can be? Because they want you to know they went to medical school for so many years. So they say, according to the scans don't. They will say the scans don't lie. I bet you the scans can lie. Only three people said, I think well, one person who said, I said the scans can what? You look at it and say, you are a worry, but you will change to prayer. And because I'm about to give you a new shape. I am about to give you a new. You pose yourself to be something that is occupying me every day. But I am about to make you a concern. You will change your shape. I said, you will change your shape. And he says, not only petitions, but extolling God for who he is and for what he has done. So, what is the process? I wanted you to understand this before I look at a life example. What is the process? This is why when you come to church and we are praising, you should never say the women are emotional. And look at the way they are just dancing and singing. And look at some of them. Look at Pastor. He's disgracing himself. They are just dancing and jumping. That is why you carry your worry. I am giving my worry a new shape. So that it no more becomes a worry. It just becomes an ordinary what? Concern. 2 Chronicles. Everybody turn your Bible. Because now I'm going to show you one scriptural example. And then after that I'll show you an example in real life. Alright? As to how this principle works. Let petitions and praises shape. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. In other words, he's saying your prayers should only be concerns. It should not be worries. Because when you are worried, how much faith do you have? You realize you have no faith because you are so soaked on the thing. And he's saying you need to move into an arena where your heart exudes with faith for God to work. In the book of 2 Chronicles 20, we read the story of a dude called Jehoshaphat. That was one king. And the scripture says, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Mennonites, right? And many other kings, they came against him. Truth is, based on the numbers, he's outnumbered. So look at verse 2. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Then there came some and told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side, Syria, and behold, they be in Hazon Tamar, which is Engedi. In other words, he was giving him the geographical location of the enemies, that they are so close. So Jehoshaphat, you are dead. We are dead. Everybody read with me verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared. Pause. What is happening to the guy? Yeah, he's worried. And Jehoshaphat feared. But in the midst of his fear, the scripture says, he set himself to seek the Lord. Notice the word seek, because he's trying to understand what is the legal language here for me to frame this issue and turn my worry into just an ordinary concern. An army we can beat, because with God, he can use three people to do anything 1,000 can do.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.